The Connecticut State House passed a bill to ban cell phones in public schools, now moving on to the state Senate for a vote. Current law implements some limitations on cell phone use in schools, but it stops short of a bell-to-bell ban. But how do educators feel about it? Joining us back on the show is Jocelyn DeLancey, who is the Connecticut Education Association vice president, and the CEA is the largest teachers union in our state. Jocelyn, welcome back. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much. I know you and I talked about this near the beginning of the session, so I'm glad to kind of come back around and have this conversation with our listeners. What do you think about this version of a cell phone ban, if you will, versus what was discussed last session and just in recent years in Connecticut?
So a cell phone ban, a bell-to-bell ban, was one of our top legislative priorities this year because we feel strongly that we need a consistent standard across the state to make sure that all of our students are experiencing the same quality of teaching and learning. And we know that removing cell phones from the classroom is a much better way to experience learning than when you have that distraction available to you.
Because let's outline, if you will, Jocelyn, last year during the legislative session, there were efforts to put guidelines out there. I believe it was the Department of Education put guidelines out there, ways that you can have more restrictions on cell phone use in schools. But there were a variety of ways, you know, oh, make sure that cell phones are in a locker, if you want to use the pouch program, if you want to collect cell phone. I mean, it was really, I'm going to call it very lax. And some districts really jumped on it. I mean, immediately bought the pouches, budgeted for it. This is what we're doing. Some did cell phone trees, but others kind of were like, we're going to see how it goes, right? I mean, that's kind of the big difference between last year and this year's legislation.
That's absolutely correct. So we had some districts who went all in, made sure there was a bell-to-bell ban. You know, my district, Darien, implemented the ban at the start of this school year for, I believe, high school and I think middle school. I'd have to circle back and double check.
What is your district?
Darien.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yep, Darien. Yeah. I remember listening to all those conversations about the pouches and everything like that. Yes.
And, you know, we had other districts across the state. I know Manchester did the bell-to-bell ban, and I think a bunch of other cities did. We think about 38 high schools across the state had the bell-to-bell ban, which is not even close to how many high schools that we have. And what we find is that the teachers who have the bell-to-bell ban found that students are engaging better, that they not only are they learning and they're, you know, engaged in the conversation and pay. There isn't this need to fight about, you know, having your cell phone out or try to take it away and take that away from teaching. And the students are talking to each other during lunch and really engaging in meaningful ways that we're not seeing in the schools that just have some sort of policy. And when we have the policies where students can bring their phone to classroom we're finding a lot of instructional time being lost to managing the cell phones. Whereas if the expectation is that they're gone all day, we're not seeing that same expectation, that same problem. And then when we, I was on a call, I think it was last week, with the SEL Collaborative, which is a statewide body of a lot of different stakeholders. And we were learning that students really didn't mind the ban as long as they knew that other students had to put their cell phones away too. So they were very excited when they had that pressure removed from them, as long as they knew that their peers had the same experience.
So it's interesting, Jocelyn, because we talk about the experience of a teacher today. And a teacher is not just a teacher anymore. To some degree, I think they've become therapists. I think they've become Gestapos. I mean, really, I feel like teachers have to take on all these different hats in today's world. And I have heard from teachers across our listening area. The ones that have the bell-to-bell ban say that the classroom experience for them has actually taken one of those roles away, which is amazing, which is that they've got to police their students. And they're always the bad guy. And they're always having to parent even high schoolers. I can remember vividly, there's a teacher who they do not have a bell-to-bell ban. And she said, one of the biggest struggles I have, and she's got freshmen and sophomores, is I am not only parenting teenagers to just get off their cell phone and care. She said, but I have this friction now with my students because I'm the bad guy. I need them to focus and I can't get them to do that. Whereas the districts that have it have taken all of that away. Like it doesn't even enter the classroom, and it's made the teaching experience a lot better, is my understanding. What are you hearing from the CEA's perspective?
We are hearing the exact same thing. Listen, it's not the kids, right? These cell phones are highly addictive. We know the cause, the damage that they cause. And so to be able to have to juggle that with kids is so completely, I don't want to use the word unfair, because I'm not even sure that's the right word, but it's just bad practice, because we understand what these devices do. And since we know the harm they cause, we should be doing better. And I think, you know, I listened to the debate all morning. There were a lot of conversations about why we don't need a statewide ban, right? That districts have the right to do this on their own. We know the problems that they cause. But when we have a consistent standard across the state, it allows for our educators to just breathe a minute, because they know that everybody believes in the same message. And I think that you can't underappreciate what that does in terms of making sure that we don't have to compare ourselves to the colleague next door with this. You know, oh, Miss Delancey's the nice teacher, right? Because she lets us use our cell phones, or she's the cool teacher, or whatever. You know, that kind of thing, it doesn't help us to deliver our content and to make sure that our instruction is quality. And so I think that having this consistent standard allows for us to really focus on what we need to do in the classroom, which is teach.
Right.
And of course, we do all of those things. You know, we care for our students. We want to build community. Putting a cell phone in a classroom harms the community that we work so hard to build. So we are very excited that this ban has kind of moved to the next phase of the legislative process.
It reminds me so much, Jocelyn, growing up, I struggled with, you know, peer pressure. And I'll never forget, I was in middle school, and this stands out to me so vividly. I was attending middle school in the public schools in Fairfield, and it was very common in the late 90s, early 2000s for kids to walk along Black Rock Turnpike. And I promise there's a reason for me telling you the story. But kids would walk Black Rock Turnpike, which is a very busy road in Fairfield, and it was on half days. And my mom would never let us do it because she was scared we'd get hit by cars. She was scared that we wouldn't pay attention. She was scared. She, you know, and then also kids would engage in maybe not so great activities, and there was no parental guidance. And my mom was like, absolutely not. You're not doing it. And I remember, you know, I was always very outspoken as a kid. My poor mom. I'm like, Mom, what am I supposed to tell people? I mean, I'm going to seem like a loser. I'm the only kid getting on the bus. I seem like a loser. And she's like, well, I'll pick you up. Whatever. My point being is she would say to me, Melissa, just blame me. Just blame me. Just tell your, I don't care what you tell your peers. Tell them, oh, my annoying mom is making me not go. Oh, my mom is too nervous. She's such a worrywart. She said, just blame me. Just blame me to get me out of it. And it reminds me so much of this scenario, which is that it's such an uncomfortable place to be in, where a district has to make that determination and deal with the backlash or the potential backlash, when we all kind of know, like, hey, just blame mom. Like, just blame the fact that, hey, we've got a ban. Sorry, we got to follow rules. I just think this is one of those instances where you just blame mom. You just say, hey, there's a ban in place. There's nothing we could do about it. Teachers aren't getting in trouble. Districts aren't getting in trouble. This is something we do statewide. Sorry, that's the way it works. That's what this reminds me of, honestly, and I'm okay with it.
I think you're not wrong. I think that, you know, we kind of needed, obviously we needed, because we only have 38 high schools across the state.
Mm-hmm.
We have well over 100 high schools across the state, and we only had 38 that implemented the bell-to-bell ban. And we all know that this is a problem in our schools. There was not one person who debated on the floor yesterday who said, absolutely, cell phones are a good thing to have in our classrooms. But I think what happens is that we need a bad guy on this, because superintendents listen to their boards of ed listen to their constituents, and there's this reluctance to fully ban because there might be some sort of issue or emergency or whatever it is.
And then they get
blamed. We understand that.
Yep.
And yeah. And so I think this allows for everybody to understand this is the practice. We can do this. And you know, we are not the first state to do this. And we're not going to be the last. But, you know, the fact that we're behind, you know, over, I think it's like 20 other states, you know, we could do better. Connecticut should be the pioneer in public education in terms of best practice and being innovative and thinking about the needs of our students and putting them first. And so I think that being able to pass this and again, like you said, like give a standard that makes everybody go, well, it's not my fault.
Right. Exactly. Mean, just, you know, blame mom. Right. Just blame mom. That's what this reminds me of. We're talking about the cell phone ban bill that just passed the House. It did have bipartisan support, although I was reading through that three Democrats of the 102 member majority and just over half of the 49 member Republican minority did oppose the bill. However, Minority Leader Vincent Candelora and Candelora's two Republican leaders supported advancing this bill in the House. It now heads to the Senate for a vote. If it passes, this would go into effect for districts across Connecticut starting in the 2027-28 school year. So again, not next school year, the one after. We're talking to Jocelyn Delancey about this from the CEA, the largest teachers union in Connecticut, and she's the vice president of it. Jocelyn, why do people oppose this? Is it still because of a safety concern? If God forbid something happens, I want to contact my kid?
I think the majority of the opposition was really about local control and allowing for the districts to decide for themselves. Also, because we had legislation that mandated a policy, they felt that that should be sufficient and that we extra step of the ban.
Okay, because I know in the past when they, so last year's bill, the one you're referring to, which was, hey, we've got to put a policy in place. Doesn't matter what it looks like, but we've got to put a policy in place. The biggest concern people had was that, especially for high schoolers, you've got kids who have jobs and they've got to be able to manage their jobs while they're at school. And I think to myself, what? I understand that kids have to work. I get it, because I also had to work in high school. I know my husband worked in high school. So, like, I get that. But I also realize that, well, part of our job is to go to school. But the other thing is the concern of public safety. And I don't know if people realize that. Ask any police officer, ask any intelligence officer. They're going to tell you that when there is an emergency, what has made it incredibly harder for them to respond accurately is the use of technology. Parents who are getting alerted before even the school alerts them, they're showing up, they're bringing chaos, there's more presence on campus. The use of cell phones actually make it a lot harder for them to effectively respond to, God forbid, an active shooter situation, for example. Cell phones don't actually make that better, is my understanding from police. And so I wasn't sure if that was still kind of an argument that people were making, that we need cell phones if, God forbid, the unthinkable happens.
I think that some people are making that argument to a certain extent in terms of being able to contact their children and making sure they know where their students are. But we did hear the same from as you. I mean, of course, before we pushed for this legislation, we did check with multiple stakeholders, including our law enforcement officers and our SROs, to make sure that we were on the same page, that it, in fact, is not necessarily safe for students to be, you know, calling during an emergency to have their phones on if they're supposed to be in a secure area where they might make noise or other things. And so we did speak with law enforcement, and many the feedback was the same as what you just explained.
Yeah, I get it. I've got a 7-year-old. Okay, and I remember when my kids started elementary school, and in our district, they don't allow any smart devices. So our kid can't have a smartwatch, you know, things like that. And I remember being, you know, personally, I was like, what do you mean? I want to be able to track my kid. But you think back to when I was in elementary school, middle school, even high school. And look, I went to a Catholic school for high school where they absolutely collected our phones. If my phone went off, let me tell you, the sisters had no problem taking our phones from us, and we didn't get them back. We had a call home, and then I had to deal with Claudia again, you know, same mom I had to blame before in middle school. She got a call home, and I can tell you I never misbehaved again. But my point being is, you know, how did we respond to emergencies in the past when there were no cell phones? I mean, up until this generation, there were no cell phones. We didn't have cell phones in class. I mean, for goodness sake, we were learning typing classes in middle school. We just got computers. I think that we've become so reliant on cell phones that we now don't know how to unsee a school setting without them. I do think that's how it's become.
Yeah, and I think that you're not wrong. I do think, you know, our schools work really hard to make sure that our emergency plans are in place and that students are safe all day long. When I'm in the classroom, I mean, my students are my school kids, right? I don't have kids, and I can't even imagine what would go through my brain if there were a school emergency as a parent. But as an educator, those kids are my primary concern all day long, and their safety is paramount to my own. So I think that when we talk about this, we have school safety plans, we have emergency plans, and we work to make sure that kids are safe all day. And we know that cell phones can cause security issues. So we want to make sure that our kids are safe, and we want to make sure that parents, you know, as soon as something is going on, that they're contacted. But we also want to make sure that they're contacted with the right information, that they have the clearest understanding of what is going to continue to keep the situation safe and not their personal need met. Because we know that our personal needs don't always equate to what is the safest thing out there in the world. So I think that as we move forward with this understanding that cell phones, I mean, we're looking at this for technology across the board in schools, that we've become so reliant on technology, and we're seeing a decrease in student learning across the board. If we are looking at the science right now, we're not seeing this great, you know, push of improvement in teaching and learning because of technology. And we do have an over-reliance on it. And we are seeing that we're not thinking as creatively because of the technology. There are lots of things that we're losing because of it. And so, I mean, I personally, you know, I've been a huge proponent of play-based learning and bringing, you know, more hands-on experiences back in elementary school. I don't think it's different in middle school and high school. And I think that this is, again, the first step for us to, we've learned we can do better, and so we should.
And again, this passed the House. It still needs to go to the Senate for a vote. And just so people are clear, it doesn't mean you have to have the pouches, for example, because that was another question we got. It does mean that by the 2027-28 school year, you have to have a phone ban policy in place. And again, the pouches, that is one route you can take, but there are other options. But a bell-to-bell ban, that has been approved by the House, moves over to the Senate, and if it passes in time by the end of the session, May 6th, it will go into effect for districts across Connecticut, not next school year, but the year after. Jocelyn DeLancey, I want to thank you so much for giving us the time. Always on WICC, Vice President of the Connecticut Education Association, our largest teachers union in the state. We appreciate it.